Tim Fleming in the morning on AM 1300 KGLO.
AM 1300 KGLO, I'm Tim Fleming, and we have Chad Hansen from Corporate Farmer with us on the live line. Hey, Chad, how you doing this week?
Oh, pretty good. How about you, Tim?
I'm doing fantastic. It's Groundhog Week. I guess we get to see Punxsutawney Phil, whether he sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow. We're going to get six more weeks of winter any way you look at it, right?
I guess so, yeah. You know, any of those things, though, to me are signs of spring, and I grab onto that at this point and kind of count down the days until maybe we get to see more of that sun and less of the snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So how you been this week at the office? Busy week? I mean, you wind down the month of January. How you doing there?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of tick off those deadlines with 1099s and W-2s needing to be out to individuals here by the beginning of February and submitted to the IRS, at least with the 1099 NEC forms. Still have a little bit more time on when the filing deadline is with the other 1099 forms, but, you know, that's always kind of that, I would say, first big milestone of the tax season is getting those out the door. And, you know, like any deadline, there's always that last second panic and crunch of everybody trying to make sure that everything's right and correcting any errors that there might be with addresses or amounts or tax ID numbers or any of that kind of stuff. So at least the phone lines aren't crazy this morning, so that means that the panic may be over for a little while until we start moving on to the next deadline, which, you know, for us is that March 1st tax deadline for, you know, the farmers. So kind of move on to the next. It's almost like a football game, right? You kind of finish that first quarter and start looking forward to the second quarter. So we get a little chance to catch our breath, and then it's right back at it.
Yeah, that does come up fast, doesn't it, that March 1st? And you said that's just for farmers.
Yeah, so just to remind people, because I know everybody wonders, even if you're farming a little bit, whether you fall into that category or not. And basically what it is kind of a special deal for those that farm and allows them the opportunity not to have to pay their taxes in advance because of the fluctuations that they often see in income where it's difficult to project it. You know, like you and I that we work for a wage and we have a pretty good idea what our income is going to be for the year, and we get paid either, you know, on a weekly or biweekly or monthly basis where they can take the taxes out according to our earnings. We've already accumulated credits there against what our tax liability is going to be. And if we've kind of figured our W-4 somewhat correctly, you know, we can assume that we're not going to owe a whole bunch or probably get, you know, a great deal back. And for those that are not working for somebody else, they have requirements with estimates where they have to make quarterly estimated tax payments that are based on their expectations of where their income's going to be. Typically, that's kind of based off of the prior year's income, because, you know, more often than not, that's going to be fairly steady. With farming, you can see huge swings in income, depending on price and obviously the weather and all those variables that they deal with. And so many, many years ago, you know, the people in Washington decided that what we'll do is, because of the big fluctuations, we won't require them to make estimated tax payments in advance. What we'll do is move their deadline up just a little bit before everybody else's. They can get their taxes filed a little earlier, and by doing so and paying earlier, they will avoid any kind of penalties or interest that would be associated with not being correct or making those advance payments. And so in order to fall under that rule, basically two-thirds of your income needs to come from farming. And, you know, people always say, well, what's that mean? Does that mean, you know, the profit that I have on the farm, how do I figure that? And it's pretty simply, you know, your revenue has to be two-thirds of your total income. So, you know, for somebody that maybe their spouse is working and they farm, and in a given year they show a loss or maybe don't show much profit, they might say, well, you know, that wasn't two-thirds of our income. You know, my spouse made X number of dollars in wages and I didn't make anything on the farm. Well, fortunately, it's based on the revenue, so you're going to have, you know, significantly more revenue than probably net income in most cases. And so your total sales would be, you know, your grain, maybe livestock, government payments, crop insurance, all those different things that go into your revenue. And as long as that equates to two-thirds of your total income claimed on your return, then you fall under that rule that you don't have to make estimates and you'd file by March 1st and there's no penalty. So I know we've talked about that probably in the past, but it's a question I get several times every year. And do I need to file by March 1st and what are those rules and everything? And so that's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things too, Chad, just working with you guys at Corporate Farmer kind of puts people in line with where they're at. They can ask those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are never shy from answering any of the questions your clients have for you.
Yeah, try and educate them on those things. And, I mean, you get people that, you know, maybe they qualify for that March 1st deadline, but they know that they always are historically waiting on something to get it done. And that March 1st deadline is pretty difficult to make. And so, you know, they do have the opportunity to go ahead and make an estimated payment. They can do that, in that case, by January 15th of that year. So, you know, we're a couple weeks past that, but they would be allowed to make an estimated tax payment by then, and then that allows them then to fall in line with everybody else, which gives them until April 15th to make that filing in a typical year. So, you know, that's an option that some take just because some of the information that they need to gather is not getting out to them as timely as they'd like. Maybe that's, you know, often like a K-1 or something for their investment company that takes a little bit longer for those types of institutions to produce. And so, you know, it helps them. It helps us, too, because it's a big crunch for us to try and get those out because, you know, like I said, the 1099s and W-2s and stuff are supposed to be out today. You know, if they were mailed yesterday, that may take till the end of the week for those to get, you know, into people's hands. And obviously, by the time they kind of schedule an appointment and get organized, we're talking, you know, a week or two from now, and at that point in time, we've only got a couple weeks to try and make that March 1 deadline. So it's a real kind of condensed window, and you know, I talk about quarters, and, you know, it's kind of like that first quarter, everybody's kind of feeling each other out and kind of deciding if the game plan's working. And then at the end of the second quarter, you always got that mad rush of trying to score there before halftime, and when you go in and regroup and everything, well, that's a pretty good comparison to what it's like in a tax office when you're talking about the farmers and the March 1 deadline. It kind of gets pretty hot and heavy there at the end of the second quarter.
And I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm just the outside guy looking in for you guys, you know, as accountants and so forth, but I'm guessing you don't like to see overtime.
Well, you know, magically, the last couple of years, old COVID put us all into overtime.
That's true.
You know, and there's some benefits to that. Don't get me wrong, because You know, it's kind of like what we've seen in the NFL playoffs. Is sometimes there's a team that's been trailing the whole time, and they're a little concerned that there isn't enough time on the clock, and magically, or maybe even like the Hawkeyes last night, you know, they get a little tip in to kind of send it to overtime and get to regroup and start over. And that's kind of the way it was a couple years ago, I'd say, with a lot of us that, you know, you just didn't know what to expect, and there were so many unknowns at the beginning of the pandemic with, you know, how this was all going to work out and dealing with doing things over the phone and fax and email and all that kind of stuff that maybe not everybody was totally accustomed to. And so that was a good opportunity to kind of catch your breath, let the referees kind of bring everybody to the 50-yard line, explain the overtime rules, and give us all a chance just to kind of start 0-0 and figure it out from there. So, yeah, I know that wasn't the answer you're necessarily looking for, but sometimes overtime's good, and sometimes overtime doesn't end in the way you want it to. So I'm going to reserve judgment and hope that we don't get an overtime here this year.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. You mentioned the COVID situation and the pandemic, and boy, you know, and how that did really change, well, everybody's lives, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as what you do on a yearly basis with your clients, wow, that did change a lot.
Yeah, it did for sure, and I think it opened people up to doing things a little bit different way than what we were used to. We were so used to, you know, being face-to-face and having to do things in a certain way, using probably some older methods of making stuff work. And, you know, you kind of, I mean, I'm just as bad or guilty as anybody that, you know, you kind of get comfortable in a way of doing stuff, whether that's here in the office or that's getting out so much and being in front of people. But there's some things to be said about the opportunities that, you know, technology like Zoom and, you know, learning about secure ways of transferring data or documents to protect against, you know, some of the things that are out there with identity theft and things that I think we've all kind of learned from this experience and maybe figured out ways of kind of at least finding alternatives or doing something a little bit different than what was in our kind of comfort zone. And so, again, I think that that's one thing that probably COVID really brought to light for a lot of us, especially the way we do business on a daily basis.
That is for sure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And who would have thought? And how could you predict where we were going when it all got started?
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, we're still kind of trying to sort some of it out. I would say, you know, I know I've kind of mentioned this a few times, you know, in the past several weeks. But, you know, as we kind of get ready for tax appointments, maybe you've already got yours scheduled. But if not, that's probably something that you should think about doing. You know, really try and get organized this year. And I say that to help people out because I think it's clear at this, if you've seen anything in the media, you know, the IRS is understaffed. They're behind, probably still returns from a couple years ago that they haven't processed at this point in time. Trying to call them on the phone, yeah, don't even probably try it at this point because it's going to be a major frustration. And I know even myself, just from experience, trying to get 1099 submitted yesterday for our clients, you know, their systems were just overwhelmed. It pretty much took me all day to make that stuff happen just because, you know, they're dealing with old systems that haven't been updated. They don't have the funding to update them, don't have the people to update them, you know, all those things. And, you know, if you make even the slightest or simplest error on your return, what's going to happen is it's going to get kicked out for review. And when I talk about, you know, that they're still trying to figure out returns from 2020, do you think your return for 2022 is going to be a priority? Heck no. I mean, they're already getting chewed on by people like me, by senators, by taxpayers. Everybody right now is probably not got a good thing to say about the IRS, and so you know, they're kind of chasing their tail at this point in time, and so that doesn't mean panic or be concerned. It just means be organized. Make sure that you've got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed so that, you know, you don't cause a reason for your return to get delayed, because, you know, if you're used to getting your refund within, you know, a few days of filing it, it could go from there to maybe as long as a year, if not longer. You know, like I said, in these cases where 2020 refunds have not been issued. And so I know that, you know, Congress is trying to get some funding there, and there's been some people hired within the IRS to kind of get some of these things taken care of. I can tell you, too, that, you know, unfortunately, it's probably not going to be the priority to get the items fixed, you know, as quickly as it's going to be for some of the enforcement and, you know, collecting unpaid taxes, because, you know, we all know that that Washington spent a little bit more than they probably should have, and so they're going to be using the IRS to get out there and collect, you know, some of that money to help kind of settle up the books. And so, again, what this all means for us, I'm not trying to, you know, paint the IRS as the bad guys. I'm just trying to paint the picture that we've got to do our job and make sure that we get these returns filed correctly so that we don't have to deal with all the problems associated with trying to rectify any issues that we might create.
Got to get those clients on board, don't you?
Mm-hmm, for sure. And that's why I'm just trying to get the message out and, you know, read between the lines, because we can, you know, easily, you know, read some of these articles in the paper, listen to what people are saying on the radio, and we kind of think, oh, it doesn't affect me. My returns are good. I already got my refund from last year. No worries. But, you know, I can definitely say that if you find yourself in that situation, it's a pretty frustrating deal. And anybody that I can help avoid that is going to be something that I feel, you know, pretty good about.
Well, let's get it done, people. Let's get on board with Corporate Farmer. So easy to do, and Chad and his team are ready to help get you through the tax season, but work with you throughout the entire year to make your operation a success. Chad, how do they get together with you guys at Corporate Farmer?
Yeah, super easy. Just give us a call here at the office, 800-472-6931, or you know, you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
Chad, great to talk to you this week. Have a great one.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
You bet. Take care. Chad Hansen with us, everybody, president of Corporate Farmer in Mason City. And that's our Corporate Farmer program for this week on your hometown news station, AM 1300, KGLO.